As we prepare our hearts for God's Word, let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and to worship and to honor you, Lord, and to hear you. I pray, Father, that you speak to your people today by your Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in us, and Father, that we would live it out in this world and bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, being a father is a wonderful thing. So much joy and so many unique experiences. We're really blessed as a church to have a lot of young families, young couples with children, and the Lord just keeps adding to our number that way. And I heard a story about one young family that took their toddler to the home improvement store. And as they shopped, the toddler got tired, so dad picks her up and he puts her on his shoulders as they walk around. Well, just a few minutes, she begins to pull his hair. And he tells her several times, "Madison, don't do that." And she just keeps on pulling his hair. Finally, he scolded her. He said, "Madison, stop it right now." She said, "But daddy, I'm trying to get my gum back." Oh, the joys of fatherhood. Right? You know, people talk about the things that moms say. Well, let me tell you seven things that dads never say. Here's the seventh. "Why do you want to get a job? I have plenty of money for you to spend." That never happens, does it? "Well, princess, now that you're 13, maybe you could start dating older guys." Just want to make sure you heard me. These are things dad never will say, all right? "No son of mine is going to live under this roof without a tattoo and an earring." All right. "How wonderful is it that all your friends have a hostile attitude?" No dad will ever say, "Your mother and I are going away for the weekend. We thought maybe you would want to consider having a party." "Here's my credit card and the car keys. Now go crazy." And the number one thing that no dad will ever say, "I think I'm lost. We're going to have to stop and ask for directions." And you know, that's not a big deal anymore because, well, we just use the phone. But if you're a real man, you don't use the phone. You just keep driving around. Today's message is honoring fathers. Did you know that there's kind of a difference between the way that Mother's Day and Father's Day are celebrated? I mean, Mother's Day, it's just a big event, and there's a lot of excitement and a lot of real special family times, and you know, it's even a bigger thing at church a lot of the time. It's like Father's Day is the obligatory day, you know. You got a Mother's Day, so we got to have a Father's Day too, I guess. And it's strange how that even the sermon is usually different. When it's a Mother's Day sermon, mothers are encouraged and uplifted and appreciated, and the message is really directed at others to tell them how much they should appreciate mothers and celebrate mothers. But Father's Day, the message is usually directed at fathers, how we as fathers need to do a better job, how we as fathers need to repent of our shortcomings, and, well, we just need to be better fathers. You need to be more sensitive, or maybe you need to be stronger. You need to have more time with your family. Or maybe you need to work more. I'm telling you, one way or another, it seems that we all fall short and we just can't ever get it exactly right. And so most of the time, the Father's Day message, it's directed at the fathers who just need to get their act together. So I want to tell you that that's not going to be what we talk about this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about honoring fathers. I want to put you fathers in your place. Do you know your place? One little girl sitting at the table, and to her dad's delight,
she turns to him and she says, "Dad, you're in charge, aren't you?" And he says with great pride, "Well, yes, I am." And then the little girl says, "You're in charge because mommy put you in charge, right?" Yeah, you know your place. No, I want to tell you that your place as a father is a place of honor. And I want to see you put in that place, a place of honor. That's what the Bible says, that a father is to be honored. In fact, at least 8 times the Bible tells us, honor your father and mother. It is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and mother. There are consequences when you don't, and there are blessings when you do. The first problem with that command is that society says that they don't deserve it. And I got to tell you this morning that, as always, we have a choice to go along with the attitudes of the culture and the time that we live in, or to stand on God's word, to believe God's word, to live according to God's word. And although I consider this a simple message this morning to honor fathers, the truth is that it flies in the face of the attitude of the culture around us, which says that we should not honor fathers because they don't deserve it. The Bible says to honor your father and mother, but society says, "Oh no, that's not necessary. They don't deserve your honor." Now listen, it's certainly true that there are a lot of bad fathers. There's also some bad mothers. And it's true that many times, because a father has not fulfilled his role that he should, there's been a negative impact on the children, on the family. One thing that should tell us is just how important a father is. Because when they don't do what they're supposed to do, when that father is not in the home, many times it can have such a huge impact. That lets us know that role of a father is so important. But I have to tell you that what we are seeing in our culture right now is an attack of the enemy against the family and to weaken the church. And it has everything to do with the role of the father being brought down and being destroyed. Rather than fathers being honored, they are disdained. In fact, I'm just going to go out here on a limb, and you can get all quiet on me, and but I'm just going to say it anyway. I'm just going to tell you, listen, we all like to talk about the whole problem with our culture and morality and spirituality. It has to do with prayer in school. I don't think so. I think the problem is prayer in the home. And I think the real problem is, listen, I'm 58 years old. 50 years ago, when I was a third grader, we didn't have prayer in school. But I'll tell you something that was more common and predominant in our culture is that we had respect for our parents and honored our father and mother. What's changed in the last 50 years is that mothers and fathers are no longer respected and honored. And this attitude in our culture where children and teenagers can judge their parents and say, "Well, they're not worthy of my honor." I'm just telling you, this has everything to do with the problems that are going on in our culture. Fathers are to be honored. And I understand that some of them make big mistakes. Some of them have terrible faults and flaws, some more than others. But let me tell you something. I've never met a mother, I've never met a teenager or a child that didn't make mistakes and have faults and flaws. And fathers, just like everybody else, need forgiveness. But it doesn't change the fact that God's word says that they're to be honored. Do you know that bad fathers, fathers messing up, fathers not doing right, is not anything new? If you read the Bible, you will see from cover to cover that there are men who failed. It's not a new thing. And yet God says over and over in His Word, including in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, that fathers are to be honored. Now, if you don't have a godly father, that certainly does not condemn you to a bad life. You know, I read in the Bible about this guy, Asa. And it says that this guy, Asa, who became king, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as his father David had. It's talking about David, the great king. Well, David wasn't his immediate father. He was his ancestor. His immediate father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather, none of them served the Lord and did what was right. And the Bible doesn't really give us an indication as to why Asa then stands up and serves the Lord and does what's right. And what I'm saying to you is that, yes, you can overcome the odds, and with God's help, with God, all things are possible. And if you're a single mom raising kids on your own, yes, you can overcome the odds. With God's help, you can do it and see your kids serving the Lord. But make no mistake about it, fathers are important, and they are to be honored. I want to encourage the fathers here today. At times you may feel inadequate. At times you may feel like you're not spiritual enough or you're just not enough. You are to be honored. You need to realize how important you are. The second reason this command is ignored in our culture is that fathers are seen as unimportant. The role of a father has been so downgraded that many don't think that fathers are even necessary. Some view fathers just as a donor. It's so strange to me how that our culture can get so far afield from the principles and the values of Scripture. Think that fathers are not important. How important is a father? Let me just give you a few statistics. Don't hate the messenger. I'm just giving you the statistics. It may shock you. I have to tell you, it shocks me. But if both your parents worship with you regularly while you were growing up, there's an 80% likelihood that you'll worship God regularly as an adult. If only your mother worshiped regularly with you, there's a 30% probability that you'll worship God regularly as an adult. If only your father worshiped regularly with you, the likelihood that you'll worship God regularly as an adult increases to 70%. Don't tell me that a father's not important. Research shows that if a child is the first one in a family to get saved, now, I want to say this again. You don't have to be a statistic. With God, all things are possible. But we're just talking about how important a father is, all right? When a child is the first one saved in a family, there's a 3.5% chance that the whole family will get saved. When a mother is the first one saved in a family, there's a 17% chance that the whole family will get saved. When a father is the first one in the family to get saved, there is a 93% chance that the whole family will get saved. Don't tell me that fathers are not important. So society says, oh, we're not going to honor fathers because they don't deserve it. They make mistakes. We're not going to honor fathers because they're just not really that important. They're not special. The first commandment that came with a promise. The other commands he had just given, you just do it. This one he gave a promise. You honor your father and mother, and it'll go well with you, and you'll live long on the earth. To honor is to treat someone special. We're going to go to Mark chapter 6 and read about Jesus and honor. Mark chapter 6, we're going to read 1 through 5. And I want you to keep in mind that to honor someone is to treat them as special, to show great respect, regard for them, to treat them as special. Mark chapter 6, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brothers of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.' Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." You see, these people knew who Jesus was. They say, "Isn't this the carpenter? We know his brothers and his sisters are here with us." They were very familiar with who this was. Many times familiarity breeds not just contempt, as they say, but dishonor. They knew who Jesus was. They knew his family. And to them, he didn't seem all that special. He was somebody that they knew. No big deal. And they didn't honor him. And you see, in the home, a father may not seem like somebody special. He's just ordinary, just old dad, just a regular old guy, no big deal. That familiarity many times keeps us from giving honor to the ones to whom honor is due. It's amazing to me that they could think this about Jesus, that he was no one special. Isn't this the carpenter? And the Bible tells us he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. It tells us that they were offended at him. They were offended because here he was doing all these mighty things, saying all these things, and this is just a regular guy to them. And so they were offended at him. This is the Son of God. This is the one who was perfect, who never made a mistake, who never sinned, who did not have any faults or flaws, and yet they were offended at him. Should we be surprised when people are offended at their fathers? And maybe, as I said, there are certainly fathers that fail and make mistakes and maybe even have done terrible things, but listen, that offense can keep you from honoring your father. You know, the Bible gives us a solution to that. You forgive. I've already said there is no father who's perfect. There's other than our heavenly father. The rest of us all fail and make mistakes and need forgiveness. But offense will keep you from giving honor to whom honor is due. You can always find fault. You can always look for a reason not to. Not to obey God. Or you can choose to obey God. You know, I said this earlier. All through history, all through the Bible, there are fathers that made mistakes, fathers that messed up, and yet they were to be honored. but it has been in the last 50 years that more and more and more fathers are no longer honored. Now, the scripture tells us that Jesus himself said it, that he was not honored in his hometown, his relatives, or in his own house, that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and his own town. And then it says, and he could do no mighty works there. This is the Son of God who came to save the world. And he went around healing the sick and casting out devils and even raising the dead. But in his own town, where they did not honor him, it didn't say he refused to. It says he could not do any mighty works there. And I'm telling you this morning that many fathers are not fulfilling their God-given role. It is not just because fathers are sorry today. It is because they are not being given any honor. And if we will honor fathers, it will lift them to the role that God has placed them in, has purposed for them. Church, we're supposed to honor fathers. It's amazing to me how culture and teenagers and children have set themselves up as judges of fathers rather than those who honor fathers. When you honor your father, it puts you in a place of blessing. By the way, I just have to get this out. The reason that so many fathers have backed away from their true God-given role is because they've been downgraded and put down over and over and over, and they don't feel like they belong in that role. When you honor fathers, it will encourage them and lift them up and help them fulfill God's plan and purpose and role in their life. I want to give you an example from Scripture. Noah. Noah was the one man in the whole world that found favor in God's sight. God was going to destroy the world because man was so corrupt, and the thoughts of his heart were on wickedness all the time. But there was this one man, Noah, who found favor in his sight. The Lord told Noah to build an ark to save his family from the flood. And there were 8 people who were saved, Noah's family. It was good to be in Noah's family. Sometime after the flood was over, Noah was farming, and he planted grapes, and somehow or another, he drank wine from the grapes. And by the way, there is no indication that prior to this time anyone had ever drunk wine. It may be that it was unintentional, but Noah got drunk. The Bible tells us that he is drunk and laying in his house naked. It was shameful. Whether it was intentional or unintentional, it was shameful. His son Ham comes in and sees him, and then he goes out and talks to his brothers about it. He dishonored his father, telling them about the shameful state his father was in. The older brothers took a garment and they put it up on their shoulders and they backed in to where their father was and they covered his nakedness. They honored him by their actions. Ham had dishonored him. They honored him. When Noah awakes, he knew what had happened and he prophesied over Ham's descendants, over Canaan, that they would be servants forever. And then he prophesied over the other two brothers that they were going to be blessed. I'm just telling you, when you honor your father and mother, things go well for you. And when you don't, they don't go so well. It didn't go so well for the descendants of Ham. Here was an opportunity for a son to show honor to his father, or to uncover his shame, uncover what he had, the mistake that he had made. And I'm just telling you that we all have those times when we can show honor to somebody that maybe on the one hand we could say they don't deserve it, but we do it because God's word says to. Every father, whether intentional or unintentional, makes mistakes. They are still to be honored. And whether or not you honor them will determine how things go for you. I want to read it one more time. Ephesians 6, 1, and we'll read all the way through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition or teaching of the Lord. So, if you're going to honor your father, I think it's wonderful that we have cards and a special day, but it's supposed to be something that you do every day. If you're going to honor your father, the scripture gives us a very clear way to do that in the first verse here. You honor your father with obedience. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It is pleasing to God when you obey your parents. When you disobey, you're not only disobeying your parents, you're disobeying God. If you're a young person here today and you want to honor God, you honor your earthly father. When he tells you, put down the PlayStation, it doesn't mean that you finish the level you're on. You just put it down. When he says, I want you in by 10 o'clock, you do everything you can to be there by 10 o'clock, because to not do so, that disobedience is dishonor. You know, there's many, many great examples in the scripture of obedience and disobedience. But I was thinking about the young man, the young teenager named David, who would become the great king David. The prophet comes to David's household to anoint a new king. Jesse, David's father, had 8 sons. And the prophet says, it's not one of these 7. David is still out in the field with the sheep. Now I want you to think about this. Jesse didn't even have David come in. How would you feel? The prophet says, no, it's none of these. Is there not any more? And he says, well, there's that young one out there taking care of the sheep. And the prophet says, get him in here. And when he comes in, the Lord says, this is the one. But I want you to think about this. What is David doing? He's out taking care of the sheep while one of his brothers is going to get picked to be king. But he's just doing what he's told to do. He comes in. Yes, this is the one. Sometime later, you all know the story of how David killed Goliath. But did you know that it wouldn't have happened if David had been a disobedient little snot? Because David's father tells him, I want you to take this food down to your brothers. They're soldiers. They're some of those men who are afraid of this big guy, Goliath. David's father sends him. Boy, David just didn't know what was up, did he? Because nowadays he would have said, what do you mean? I'm going to be the next king. You ain't telling me what to do. Didn't even cross his mind. He just did what his father told him to do. He goes, he takes the food, and he sees this giant. He asks his brothers about it. Next thing you know, David is killing the giant. How'd that happen? He just obeyed his father, and it put him in a place for a great victory, something that would change his life forever. I'm just telling you, when you obey, you're showing honor to your father. When you disobey, you're showing dishonor to your father. The second way you can honor your father is to listen to his wisdom. You'll notice in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, we read that part of the responsibility, the role of a father, is to bring up his children in the training and the teaching of the Lord. And every father has on the inside of him a desire to help his children do better than he did, to train his children, to teach his children, to impart to them some of what he's learned, to help them with life. When you listen to your father and you take hold of his advice, it is an honor to him. When you won't listen to your father, it is a dishonor. Mark Twain once said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I was 21, I was astonished at how much the old man learned in 7 years." Now, for some people, it takes a lot longer than that. A lot longer than 7 years. Proverbs 4:1, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." You know, we see this over and over in the book of Proverbs because the whole book basically is a father writing wisdom, trying to help his son, trying to give his son what he needs to be successful, to do well, to avoid harm. Oh, did you hear that? To do well? When you honor your father and mother, it'll go well with you. And part of the way you honor them is you listen to your father's advice. Believe it or not, he might know some things. He might have learned some things. And you know what? That doesn't stop when you become an adult, does it? No, you can still honor your father by listening to his counsel. One more verse, Proverbs 15:5, "A fool despises his father's instructions, but he who receives correction is prudent," he's wise. See, when you honor your father and you listen to his instruction, you're wise. When you reject it, you're being foolish. The third way you can honor your father is by always speaking respectfully to him and about him. I think this is one of the things that Satan has used in our culture to so downgrade the role of a father, to the point where I stand up here and I preach this morning, and I know that there are people that don't like it because their minds are so full of that attitude of the world. I'm just telling you, Satan is using this constant barrage of negative things being said about fathers all the time to lower, to degrade who a father is supposed to be. Fathers need to be encouraged. They are torn down all the time. So if you want to show honor to your father, you say things to them that are respectful. You speak to them in a respectful tone. You say things to them to encourage them. You say words of admiration. You tell them how good they are at something, and you speak words of appreciation to them. Those are words that can honor. You don't tear them down. You don't find fault. You don't criticize. That's a dishonor to a father. but you speak to them words that will uplift, words that show respect, words that treat them as special. They need to be built up. You don't speak to them or speak to other people about them disrespectfully. Don't ever speak negative things about your father to other people. I want to remind you one more time of Ham and what he did. He went out and had to tell people about what his father had done. Don't speak negative things about your father, but always speak words that will lift him up. That's honor. See, to tear down and put down, that's dishonor. But to lift up, that's honor. Speak respectfully always about your father. Honor your father. When fathers are honored, they rise to a new level. When fathers are honored, they begin to fulfill their role in the home. And when your father is honored, you are blessed. Well, we're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come. Would you stand with me? Father, I just thank you that you are such a wonderful father, an example to us all. And Lord, I know that there are some who struggle in their relationship with you because of the relationship they've had with their father. And I pray that today, Lord, that you would just do a work in those hearts to restore and to heal. Father, I pray that today, that those that are struggling in their walk with you, Lord, would come to a new place and a deeper understanding, Lord, to know you. I pray, Father, today, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to be obedient to your word and to give honor to whom honor is due. Lord, do a work in us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer this morning. I know that in this congregation, there are some of you that are struggling because you had a father that wasn't a godly father. And I just want to encourage you to come for prayer this morning and let God heal your heart. I know there's some of you here this morning that you realize that you have not given honor to your father the way you should have. Make a decision this morning that with God's help, you're going to find a way to honor them. If they're still living, it's not too late for you to honor them in some way. And some of you dads here this morning, maybe you realize just how important you are. Maybe you realize how much you need to use your influence, how much you need to step into that role. I'm telling you, you deserve a place of honor as a father. You are to be honored. And if you want prayer this morning, I encourage you to come as well. Whatever your prayer need might be this morning, as always, you're encouraged to come. We'd love to pray with you. I'm going to dismiss the congregation with a blessing. And as we dismiss, if you need prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.